even over weakening the US and Iran. So if the US wants to continue the war in Iran, China prefers an end to the war, which means not weakening and depleting American stockpiles, because that's pretty tempting as well.
American stockpiles are gone. I mean, we're looking at if Trump restarts this war, he's got maybe a week, 2 weeks max. Missile production is null and void, no matter what they're being promised. I mean, look, some magnets are still going to get through just because people do contraband, and there is a good chance of making a lot of money. And there's a good chance of getting shot, too, for it, for the effort. But the point is on a mass scale, they don't have what they need. It's going to take the U.S. 3 to 5 years to set up enough manufacturing just to cover its own weapon systems, let alone the electronics industry and everything else. And that's if they can push that through in states. Again, what I was saying, there's a lot of reasons industry left the U.S. State regulations is one of them. And the federal government can't do anything about that. They can pressure the states, but if the states don't want to re-regulate themselves, it's a whole different issue. So from that point of view, I mean, they didn't get the rare earth magnets. They didn't get those deals. Not for the military anyways. And the Chinese do check if suddenly Samsung, because they've gone to Samsung before. I know it's not U.S. company, but the U.S., the CIA has gone and tried to work with Samsung. Said, you know, order a bunch more magnets. Samsung, hell no. Because
so China, as you're talking about Chinese restrictions from last year, from the trade war.
Right, which are still in place. Which are
targeting the U.S. military for U.S. military use.
Yeah, exactly. Dual purpose use. And Samsung said, hell no, because as soon as we up our orders, the Chinese already said, we're going to come and inspect it. Let's see all the electronics, civilian electronics, you put all that extra material in.
That's why Trump had Lula. Brazil's good, has a lot of rare earth.
Well, it's not rare. The problem, everybody's missing the problem. It's not rare earth. Refinery. It's the refineries. U.S. has tons of rare earths. So every country.
But Brazil doesn't have refining capacity.
Nope. And Brazil doesn't have refining capacity for fuel either. They sold that off to the Saudis, unfortunately, and made a very big mistake in that. Out of the 17 rare earth elements, there's only two of them that are actually very, very rare. The rest are trace materials in other formations, but they're not that rare. The problem is it's a chemical or electrolysis process to get them out. Chemical bleaching out of different materials, electrolysis to get them out, bleaching that way. It's expensive, it's energy intensive, and there's a lot of byproduct, that needs to be recycled, clean, and so on. So to set up something like that in the U.S., you're going to get environmental study after environmental study. You're going to have people protesting. They're going to bring up issues. Now, this could stretch on for years, and there's nothing, unless it's built on federal property, which is, I guess, an option, but I don't think they've ever sure looked at that. Unless it's built on federal property, and at the state level and then the local municipality level, they could delay this for years. And that's what happens with refineries. That's one of the reasons the U.S. can't build a new refinery, because it just gets delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed. And people just go, I can use my money somewhere else than this crap. And then they go build a refinery somewhere else. The U.S. shoots itself in the foot that way. It's because everything gets taken in extreme. So that's a problem. So yeah, they didn't get that bone. They didn't get the bonus from China of getting those rare earth minerals. And the Chinese, look, just the way the whole meeting came off, the fact that Xi wasn't at the airport to begin with. He was meeting with the president of Tajikistan. Half the flags along the route hadn't been changed to U.S. flags. There were still Tajik flags hanging. This is all soft indicator. I won't say a direct insult, but it's that soft indicator of, you want to have some drinks? Want to eat some expensive Chinese food? You want to go see some sights? No problem. And then go away. And that's exactly what the Chinese did. When Kim Jong-il arrives, Putin arrives, last time Putin arrived, she met him at the airport. They sat down in his convertible and with the top down drove into the city, basically hand in hand. That's the different level. And here you got a number two guy, one of the number two guys showing up to meet Trump, not the number one guy. Number one guy standing at the Palace of the People on the steps, like the owner, like the big honcho. You come to me, you shake my hand. And that's all soft power plays at that point. It's the same thing as, when Trump won and Vucic from Serbia came to Trump and they put Vucic, they Trump sitting at the in the Oval Office at the desk. They put Vucic's chair.
It was
a low chair. Vucic is a tall guy, but he's a low chair. So he's sitting there like, you know, like a school kid.
It was so funny. Yeah, yeah. Let me find the photo.
Embarrassing as hell. Yeah, if I was in this place, I would have turned around, walked out, and gone, go to hell.
It was so funny.
But it's the same thing. The Chinese did basically the same thing.
Oh my God!
And by the way, Trump, what Trump did to the leaders in Europe—I mean, it's the same thing.
And then didn't Trump say something? In that meeting, didn't Trump? There it is. That's Vucic on this side, on that small table. No, sorry.
This side. That's when they were signing. But before that, they had a photo come out. Vucic just sitting right in front of the desk.
Of Trump. Man, that is
in a lower chair. He's sitting lower than Trump. Like, let me get a better resolution of it.
That is crazy.
That was embarrassing as hell, but
he got attacked so much back home.
Oh yeah, exactly. The delinquent school kid has showed up, and the director's gonna smack him around.
Isn't there also a video of him saying something about Serbia, and then Vucic is like, "I didn't sign this," and starts going through the agreement. Do you remember that or no?
Yeah.
So Trump says, "Yeah, we signed this and that, and we also signed this," and Vucic is like, "Looks at this guy. Did I sign this?" And starts going through the agreement, confused. Like, I don't think I signed this. I can't remember the details of it. Before
the only thing worse than that, was when Schulz shows up. Why? Because the master called and Schulz comes running over, and he's this is to Biden. This is to Biden. So he comes running over. Then they normally come in a car with his back country's flags, and they came in an American car up to the White House, basically through the servants' quarters, and somebody audio taped them where Schulz is saying, "You know, I'm glad to be of service to America." Like, Jesus, man, this is
nothing like nothing compares to the daddy to Trump, NATO's guy. Oh,
yeah, Rudy. It's pathetic. So, it's pathetic.
So what does that mean for the war in Iran? What's your analysis there? Are we seeing, because Trump is in a difficult spot? My analysis is he obviously wants to get the hell out of it, but Iran are in a very different mindset and they've got a lot of demands. In a way, they're kind of telling Trump, just walk away. And according to Robert Kagan and others, that could be his least bad option. However, the New York Times is saying next week is going to be a continuation of the war. The Israelis are saying we're locked and loaded, waiting for the go ahead. We probably think Trump will be dragged back into it, and he should and will strike their energy infrastructure, which means Iran will do the same in the Gulf. So it's honestly 50-50. I never thought I'd say this. I thought he'll just walk away. What's your take on it?
First of all, the Israelis are driving this bus, like it or not. Madeleine Adelson, all these other donors, the APEC donors, you take their money, you're not going to turn away and leave. It's forced them going into a gang. These gangs, the only way you leave is when you're dead. This is pretty much the same thing here. You can't turn around and say, here's your money back with a percentage, just leave me alone. No, they own your soul. Absolutely. I think Trump wants out. I don't think Trump actually really even wanted in, but he's in, whether he likes it or not. He wasn't going to risk his life to counter these people. So he's in. Like it or not, he's in. Iran, no matter what it says, would just prefer for the U.S. to leave. And I think at this point, even the Saudis and the Kuwaitis would just prefer the U.S. to leave. Just leave. The U.S. Fifth Fleet has left. The forward headquarters, Fifth Fleet, is now moving to Israel. They've announced they're moving to Israel. A lot of the equipment is in Israel. Yeah, well, they've talked about. Well, I don't know if it was an official announcement, but they've been talking about that. They're leaving.
Yeah,
they're going to relocate to. Out of the 13 bases, there was an inspection done. They said 288 structures either damaged or destroyed. That's most everything there. You know. Yeah, so they've estimated up to $200 billion to replace everything. True or not, I don't know. But, you know, they didn't include me on the inspection board, so I can't say for sure. But that's the estimates I've been running, and between $100 and $200 billion. The U.S. doesn't have that money. Let's just begin with that. Trump didn't get his $200 billion to continue the war, so he's pulling this money out of other funds, out of existing funds for the military and for the military, out of other ministry or secretariats, departments. So he's got to come up with money somewhere for this. So that there's a big problem, you know. Plus, the big problem for the U.S. military. I mean, the U.S. military already has people in Israel. They're on TDY, temporary duty assignment. It's very permanent temporary duty. So they're not officially there forever, but they're there for very long times. Now they're going to be there forever, basically, because it's no longer, you know, when the Fifth Fleet forward headquarters moves there. It's no longer, you know, a TDY. You can't say it's a TDY. So the problem for the U.S., by the way, is you're now inside the country committing genocide on three fronts. Well, guess what? Tell us you didn't know what's going on. You're now just as guilty. You're going to get painted with a tarred with the same brush. If you had any kind of deniability before that about what Israel is doing, and that was paper thin at that. You know, because the U.S. is the one that gives Israel 2,000-pound bombs to level apartment buildings to supposedly kill somebody, except for all the civilians. You know, for Israel, collateral damage is a collateral damage bonus points. That's the whole problem there. Now, the U.S. is now absolutely in the middle of this. So try to say you didn't know what's going on. Try to say you're not a direct participant of the genocide. Nobody will believe you. So that there's that perception that, what one way or the other, that perception that the U.S. is not going to be able to shake on a world stage. But yeah, that's the point of this. The U.S. is already leaving the Persian Gulf, and that's the main aim for in Iran, is to oust the U.S. out of the Persian Gulf. And the U.S. was not really present in the Persian Gulf until Desert Storm. That's when the U.S. really got itself in there. That's when the U.S. convinced Saddam to invade Kuwait. I mean, they gave him all the green lights. And as soon as he did that, oh, well, buddy, yeah, you're the aggressor, you're this or that, and they start building up. Saddam was just stupid enough to think.
Can you remind me the story there? What was the, very briefly, remember reading it a while ago, what was the indicators, what was the reason they wanted Saddam to invade Kuwait? What was the benefit for the U.S.?
It got into the Persian Gulf. The U.S. was pretty absent from the Persian Gulf. All of these bases, everything started coming out in the 90s after they got into the Persian Gulf. The U.S. Pre-positioned equipment there in Saudi Arabia, started opening up a lot more bases. That was
the... They told Saddam like not to invade Kuwait, but they kind of didn't give him the go-ahead, but kind of were very vague about it or something along those lines.
Oh, they and said, Saddam, we don't give a damn.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, Rumsfeld fed Saddam with chemical weapons through the French. The U.S. was... The U.S. is who got Saddam to invade Iran in the first place, to get this whole conflict going.
That makes more sense.
And because, you know, they need to get somehow at the mullahs in Iran. Carter got embarrassed, so they started pushing Saddam. And Saddam took the bait, and he sent, and they backed Saddam fully with equipment and weaponry and intelligence. And we started this war. But Kuwait was the 19th province of Iraq previously, until the British drew some nice new lines. And Kuwait was slant drilling. So, yeah, the Kuwaitis were stealing Iraqi oil because they're slant drilling into
Iraq. Yeah, I heard that. They were drilling underground going into Iraqi territory. Yeah. That's what I've been told. That's confirmed? Or that's like, there's
two oh, yeah. No, no, that's, that's confirmed. That they were absolutely doing that. You can slant drill up to 13 kilometers out, so you don't have to be right on the border to get into these formations. So yeah, they were doing it. Absolutely, they were doing it. And there's the problem. Hey, can you hold 1 second?
Of course. No, cat, go.
My cat's trying to get out of one of the bedrooms, and he's jumping course. Out I'll the take door. Quick bite. So he's yeah. One Damn second. Yeah, he jumps at the handle to try to open it, but it's like slam, slams. He'll eventually do it, but it's slam, slam, slams. Like, jeez.
The OCD was kicking in.
Yeah. They convinced Saddam to do it, and then when Saddam did it, when he actually went for it, he asked Washington, we don't give it. Kuwait was an extremely anti-American country at that point. They're one of the leading anti-American countries. So, yeah, we don't care. They're not our friends and all that. But then Saddam took that bait and got that hook right in there, and he just went in, grabbed Kuwait, and pawa, and everything goes. Oh, we are, it's a legal invasion. They got a UN, they got UN permission. They had I'm not even sure how many countries were in there, and this is still during the Cold War. And Saddam was being supported by both the U.S. and the Soviet Union at that point. Even Syria was in the coalition. I mean, everybody was in the coalition. That's what the U.S. used as its entry into the Gulf, and it's been building up ever since. So Iraq, Iran, and allied now with Iraq and Yemen, their job is to drive the U.S. out, and they basically already did.
Will they be able to drive them out, or do you think Trump will be dragged in and try to force a win? That's the escalation trap. Will he get into that escalation trap, you think, or he'll be able to walk away despite the loss and make it look like a win?
No, he could make it look like a win for his base.
Obviously, he's already done that. Most of his base believes he won.
He lost more than half of his base because the people actually vote, the real MAGA people, the people that voted, hey, you know, take care of America's issues, no wars and all that. The real MAGA people, they all left. The people, the quote MAGA now are basically groupies. You know, they're cult fanatics. You know, no matter what Trump says, it's like God. You know, when you have a golden statue of Trump that was anointed by these Christian Zionist preachers, golden calves or anything like that. Oh, no, it's a golden Trump, so it doesn't count. You know, this is ludicrous. I mean, you go, gee, good God, man, but this is real. So you've got that issue now. Those people would believe anything Trump said, but that's not the problem. They don't drive the train. The people who drive the train sit in Tel Aviv or in Jerusalem, whatever you want to call it. And they're driving the train. And no, they're not going to let Trump out. So I think he's going to wind up going back in. I think the hostilities are going to break out sometime soon. See, she basically told him, you know, if you start this up, don't even bother coming to China. So Trump couldn't do anything until he went to China. Now he's been coming back from China. Yeah, I think it probably will restart. Unfortunately for everyone, including the U.S., it will restart. Things are not going to get better. Economically, we are in the middle of a tsunami. It's only getting worse. It's only going to continue to get worse. Qatar is out for the next 5 years to repair all the damage that's already done. That means that fertilizer is gone off the market for years to come. Fertilizer prices already doubled. So wait till the early harvests come in June. That's when prices start spiking, or if not skyrocketing. That extra gas is gone for years to come. The oil is not as badly damaged, but it's still, you know, look, the Saudis, and by the way, the Israelis have a vested interest to make sure this conflict is going, not just because they want to destroy Iran. They want all the shipping stopped out of the Persian Gulf. 2 years ago, or maybe it was 3 years ago, we had the genocider-in-chief, Netanyahu, up in the UN going with a map. This is the dam, dude, which was basically Iran, Iran, Iraq, Turkey, the promised land with a pipeline going from the Persian Gulf that he drew this red line through Israel. So, you know, he's laid out his plan. He needs, but for these pipelines to be emergency built, he needs the regular access points destroyed or the facilities, loading facilities so damaged nobody can do anything with them. So he's got a vested interest, and it doesn't, believe you me, he doesn't care how many Arabs or Persians or anybody else dies in that area. It's absolutely irrelevant to that man. He's swimming neck deep in blood as it is. Once a few more million people are dead, it's at this point. Then if they kill each other in a conflict he helped instigate, that's even better. And I think the Saudis have seen this, the writing on the wall. But the UAE,
all Gulf countries, even the UAE, most people disagree with me, but based on discussions I've had, even the UAE has, but their decision, if the UAE does not end up, because I'm sure they're pissed because they've been attacked the most, but if they don't end up improving relations with Iran, I think that would be one of the biggest strategic mistakes they make. They need that stability and security. And I think they will.
Absolutely.
I could be proven wrong. I've been wrong many times before. I really think they will. I think all the Gulf will come together, even Bahrain, all of them will come together. I mean, that's the only way forward. And I also think this is the beginning. I'm not sure about Trump getting back into this war. I've been saying for a while it's over, even before the ceasefire. I'm like, guys, it's going to end. Trump's going to walk away. But considering the Iranian demands and their stance on things and their rhetoric, I'm like, shit, they're egging you. Like, it's like, I dare you. I dare, hit me. I dare you. That's the Iranian side.
Well, they are saying that. But for them, you know, the best thing, even no matter what demands they're putting out there, the best thing that for them is for Trump to just walk away. And I think they're doing it. They're making the demands at that level that Trump will just go, you know. And Trump sort of said, I'm bored with this. Well, yeah, he does have a short attention syndrome. He's bored with it. Walk away. That's what the Iranians want. Insane. But the Israelis don't.
He walks away. You know how massive of a win that is for Iran if he walks away?
Oh, yeah.
That is
Iran's
wild.
A regional superpower.
That is wild. And I think Israel's days of being of having that impunity, I've said this a lot, of having that impunity in the region, this is the beginning of the end for it. And that's why they're kind of grasping at the straws, trying to get as much as they want. Not saying it's Israel's going to be destroyed, etc., as some people are saying. I'm like, no, Israel will remain a big superpower in the region, but not the only superpower. And there'll be, I think Iran will be the second big, another big one. Obviously, it's Turkey, Saudi, but the Gulf may come together as well. So, because they have to as a deterrent against Iranian aggression, but also improve relations with Iran. So we'll kind of see a block, the Gulf block, even though it's not looking realistic now, especially with the split that we're seeing within the Gulf, especially Saudi and the UAE. But I think they'll come together because that's what makes the most sense. Iran doesn't need a block, and they'll improve relations with the Gulf. And both sides have shown willingness to do that, except the Emiratis. I haven't seen it yet, but I think we'll see it. And thirdly, Israel, I think, would maintain its influence in the region just a lot less.
If the U.S. pulls, you see, I think that Trump more likely, maybe, depending on who the Democrats run next. But Israel's days of influencing the U.S. are numbered. They're going to go down quite a bit.
Yes.
Because they've had to force it so hard. I mean, they've lost. It's not just they've lost American, you know, Christians or whatever. The young generation of Jews in America are anti-Israel. They've lost. Lost everybody. Oh yeah, yeah. Look who's leading a lot of these demonstrations for the Palestinians. Are Jews up front? They've got, you know, not in my name. Those T-shirts. Those are Jews. Those are American Jews. And for That's traditional insane. Jews, you know, if you look at it, just like for Christians, the Christian Zionists are heretics. Flat out, they're absolute heretics. They have very little in common with actual Christianity, except maybe a name. And there's, I mean, I can give you theological reasons for that. There's plenty of them. But for traditional Jews, the Zionist Jews are heretics. Because traditional Judaism considers that they've been punished by God, and they cannot, while they can exist in the promised land, and they have, and they always have, they cannot rule it until the Messiah comes. And then he'll gather them together in their promised land. So to build any government and call it Israel is absolute heresy. And traditional Jews are probably happy. The Jews living in working and serving in the military of Iran are traditional Jews. This is one of the reasons, you know, when that one Christian Zionist preacher on Pascha or Easter, Catholic Easter, or Protestant Easter in this case, on Trump's little Easter party comes out there. Yeah, the Iranians want to kill all the Jews. Well, except for the Jews that are in Iran, politicians who are, I mean, Jews, just like Christians and Zoroastrians, have a representation in the Iranian parliament. And that synagogue that Israel blew up in the middle of Tehran, the reason they blew it up, one of the congregants there is an Iranian general. He's Jewish. He's an Iranian general. So there's welcome to reality. I mean, it's an Islamic republic, but it has constitutional guarantees for all minorities, religious and ethnic.
People, when I tell them, and they're telling them, when you say to them there's Jews in Iran, they'll be like, no, are they alive? Are they okay? It's crazy, people's misconception about the region.
Oh, yeah.
And like, believe me. They're fine. The synagogue was bombed, but they're fine. Oh, these IRGC bombed their synagogue. I knew it. No, Israel bombed it.
Oh, yeah. People are, you know, there's like over 660 churches working. So when they're like, oh, yeah, we're sneaking Bibles into Iran. Really? Why don't you just go to a store and buy some? There are Armenian churches, Orthodox churches, Catholic churches. I mean, I think there might be some Protestant churches. I mean, for God's sakes, it's not that hard to find one. As a matter of fact, I haven't been to Iran yet. I was supposed to go right before the war started, but that broke down for obvious reasons, security issues. They didn't bring us in. I'm hoping to go sometime soon. But I've seen the photos. I've been sent the photos. They opened up a new metro station right below the biggest Armenian church in Tehran, and it's all dedicated to the Virgin Mary with Christian symbolism, etc. And you're looking at that, you know, they hate Christians, except for how does that fit into? I mean, they've got Zoroastrians, which are not even people of the book. They're a very tiny minority. I mean, that used to be the religion of Persia at one point. But, I mean, they're a very small minority. But they've got representation in parliament. They may only have one voice, but, you know, find minorities. Look at the Saudis. Find a minority representation in the Saudi parliament. Oh, is there a Saudi parliament? Exactly. And I love this.
No, you just cut off.
Come on.
No, the perfect time. There we go. Are you back?
Yeah. It's just like, was it Morandi was taking apart this British journalist in quotes. And she's like, you've got an apartheid state. Your women have to wear the veil. Like, first of all, that would be scarf.
Okay, whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, most half Iranian women probably more don't, or they just wear it very loosely because the laws have been very liberalized. And the veil and the burqa,
that's
and
not what apartheid, that's Saudi that's Arabia. That's not what an apartheid state anyway is, but okay.
Right.
Now, the hijab, exactly. Is the hijab, the Muslim scarf is
called. Hijab, right. It's like hijab. But they don't they don't have to wear that by law anymore. There's no religious police running around forcing it. But by the way, guess where there is? You know, that there'll be U.S. allies, the Saudis, where women are property, quite literally.
The bullshit, the propaganda there. Man, I love our conversations, how it flows so well. You've got way too much information in that mind of yours, man. I enjoyed it as always. We should do it live next time. We'll get the. I know we can't use StreamYard, but we'll have to get the right software for it. I told the team so we do it live. But yeah, man, good to see you again. Waited too long for it, but we've got to do it again soon.
Yep. No problem.